Hello again. Welcome back into a fun casual conversation at a fun casual joint. We are at Roosters back in the Horseshoe Lounge. That is Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter, Nicole Cox. I am Austin Ward. And it was a fantastic weekend. Whether you were in New Orleans or Columbus, Ohio, or I guess even in Detroit, Michigan for the NFL draft.
Ooh. One of the millions of people that were up
millions,
there. There were a lot.
Millions.
Said 750,000.
Yeah. Just to celebrate only four Buckeyes getting drafted, Bob. A rare experience.
That was, you know, most of the guys I thought went where we thought they would or a little higher. You know, obviously Marv, that people we thought top five, first non-QB taken. Mike Hall goes in the second. Brown's first pick, you like that. Mm-hmm. Cade, you thought somewhere between three and five, goes pretty early in four to Houston. Tommy, I thought somewhere, you know, maybe four or five. It was in the fifth. And I thought for sure, like, some combination of Xavier, Josh Proctor, and Steele. I probably thought Steele would have probably the best chance of all those guys. But I thought maybe at least one, if not two, of those guys would get drafted. So a little surprising to not see any of them get drafted. Usually people love taking flyers on Ohio State guys at the end just because they know the culture.
After you've seen what's come out of the last 10 years or whatever, you would think, we like those high-character guys. They know how to
absolutely get after it. And it seemed like that would be the case. Unfortunately, it wasn't. So, like, I think that's probably like the low mark for probably the last
11 years.
11?
2013, okay. The Buckeyes had three players selected in that draft class, so that was the previous low watermark.
This is the Zach Boren year.
Yeah. And, you know, so, and we love Zach, obviously, but that tells you that that was what that draft class looked like, and it wasn't long for the league.
Yeah. And they had, it was a young team. And this team, this draft could have had probably another four or five guys in it should they chose to have come out.
Exactly.
Could have had more than five.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if half of the guys that could have chose to come out, and all of them basically came back, so that leads to
which
a light draft.
Next year is going to be a big
one. Yeah, exactly. We're going to take over the draft next year. That's the great news.
Bigly.
It'll be a takeover. And all the pro days and all the combine experience will be a lot more. I guess I'm going to have to work a lot more. That's
be
way
a lot
better.
Of hype,
right? I've said
more
it a lot.
More bios you have to write.
It's good for Ohio State that all these guys are coming back, and it was good for me for the last 2 months that I didn't have to worry about the draft. It's like, Marv's there. I did think maybe one other guy you could throw in there, Bob, with Matthew Jones. He's played a lot of football.
Played a lot of ball.
A guard. Like, you could keep him in. But, again, it's good for Ohio State that the rest of that draft class is coming back.
Where did Jones end up signing?
Miami, right? Yeah, Miami.
So him and then Proctor was Jacksonville. Steele was Detroit. And
Buffalo for Xavier Jones.
I actually really liked Buffalo for Xavier, just given their wide receiver situation.
Yeah.
You know, they drafted Keon Coleman. But outside of that, you know, Gabe Davis is gone. Stephon Diggs is gone.
Diggs is out of there.
You know, like, they're pretty young.
Good quarterback, good team, so you can just go out there and
absolutely
plays, right?
And he's going to be a guy that will be active every week because he's going to be really good on teams. Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you're the fourth receiver as a rookie, there's going to be guys that get hurt. Things will happen. Yep. And if the quarterback ends up liking you, it'll be great. And I know that Nicole is over the moon with Cade going to
Houston. Shut that text off on. It was awesome.
I mean, guys, with the Texans, they're just
great. I didn't have you pegged for just watching every pick in the draft all weekend, Nicole. I didn't know that you would take
I wish I could say I did that. We had the cast.
She has notifications on text.
I do. I do. And on Ohio State. So that came through. And we had the Cap City Half Marathon. Roosters did on Saturday morning. So
what was your time?
I didn't run it. Oh, I just had to speak. And
that's right. I saw a picture of you up on stage in front of all those people.
I got to do the horn.
I've done that before. It's fun.
Yeah.
Did they bring chips out for everybody down there or what?
They did. Oh, okay. They did.
What?
Yes, I know.
I was at an event Sunday. The Roosters truck was there.
Well, they gave all the chips away on
when
Saturday.
When I walked up, and I didn't think it was there. I was like, you guys want any chips on there, do you? And he's like, no.
They weren't part of it?
No, they weren't. Yeah, they just had the wings and fries and stuff like that. But it was Shane, right?
Joel.
Joel, geez.
Joel,
I was thinking Shane for some reason. But Joel was there. He goes, Nicole. I said,
she's like, if
to
you
Nicole
see this guy
time.
Creeping around.
Yeah.
Don't tell him that you
I didn't know he was in there. I was telling the other guys, I tell Nicole all the time, we need to bring these chips back. And he's she brought it up the other day. I was like, oh, hey, bud.
Yep, I did.
I stay on her. So.
Mm-hmm. But
they're my favorite.
Cade Stover is a Texan.
Yes.
He is. Awesome. I'm so excited. I just think it's exciting for him and CJ. And I just love how many Buckeyes are going to the Texans. Obviously, because it's our favorite team. But I don't know. I just think it's going to be a great year for them and a great experience for Cade, just because it's a great city, too, and it's a great program from what...
Well, they're winning.
They're winning.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Their facility is beautiful. I've been to it, and I I feel like it, they treat their, you know, players and their staff very well. I could just tell by the way they interacted with one another. So I hope that's the case for the players as well.
Have you found your fandom of the Texans enhanced in the last 2 years by the presence of those Buccaneers?
Absolutely. And also just being on this show. I mean, you know, like my son and husband have always watched the Texans, and I'm kind of in the background just, you know, just doing stuff because I can't relax. And so
I've never known that about you.
Yeah. You know, I just always feel like I have to be doing something. So, okay. But yeah. And you know, this show, just learning about CJ and then watching him go there. Yes, absolutely. It's just such a big love for that team.
CJ was one, again, like he was everywhere. He was everywhere. He met with that Micah
podcast. Bleacher Report.
Yeah. Did you
get beating up on Micah Parsons?
Eric, come on, bro. What are you talking about, bro?
You were the only person in America, in the world, that could think that the NFC East is stronger than the AFC North.
I mean, that's the, like, CJ's knowledge and appreciation and study of all football.
Yeah.
I don't, we knew that, but I don't think people recognize that about him. There was so much, like, negativity towards him in the
slander
last year's draft.
SQ. Like, that's
the guy,
whatever that
the
test
guy
that nobody is, takes anymore was.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy's married to the game, and he was
married talking, to the game.
And he's talking,
what you like,
talking about that stuff with Micah Parsons. And it was like, I think that that gave people another level of appreciation for CJ heading into year two.
Well, I think people viewed him as kind of a more quiet, like, they questioned his leadership here a little bit just because he's not, you know, this big personality,
most vocal,
you know,
person,
most
ever,
vocal guy you're going to find. And so people confuse that with just kind of, you know, ambivalence around the situation.
Not, you want running your team. It's like,
yeah.
No,
and
the
then
case.
You watch him kind of clap back like fast at Micah. I was like, okay, I didn't, I mean, I don't know if everybody else had seen that. And I was surprised that he,
you're going to see his personality a little bit.
Yes,
right?
It was
good. Year in the league. He's feeling a bit, you know.
Oh, yeah. His offensive rookie of the year.
Feeling himself a little bit.
Which is great. Like, all that's great for Cade because you have a guy who's comfortable with you, who is going to lobby for you out there.
Quarterbacks love their tight ends.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's, you know, he understands what he can do really well. They've got Dalton Schultz, but I'm sure he'll be lobbying to get Cade on the field as much as he can. He understands what he can do probably better, not probably, better than the coaches they already have and the guys that evaluated him. So that'll be big. And it's just a comfort level that they'll push the ball to him whenever he probably can if he feels like there's an opportunity to do it.
I have a question. I'm sorry. No, I know I'm not supposed to give the questions,
you
but
can
I just
absolutely
have a question.
Do that whenever you want.
But I was just thinking, do they, when they're before the draft, because you know my favorite movie is Draft Day, I didn't see this in the movie, so I'd like to know how it works on the back end. Do the players get any say into if they're like looking at all the possibilities the coaches are? Do the players get any input at all on like, okay, well, we know this tight end's coming and like I went to school with him. I'd really like for him to be here. He would help.
I have some insight onto that process for the Texans specifically.
Okay.
Because CJ Stroud was at Pro Day and he did an interview and hung out with Berm and I for a while. And we asked him what he was looking for, and he said, well, I've been looking at the film of all of the wide receivers and targets and giving feedback with their offensive coordinator and head coach about who he might like, what he sees on film, and gives. He's not getting the green light to make the pick himself, but it would be, from my perspective, foolish for the Texans to not involve their quarterback in some of those evaluations with their wide receivers and tight ends. So I know that he was. Does it? How? What percentage does that influenced
didn't
the front
he kind
office.
Of do that last year when he got drafted? Wasn't there a receiver that he kind of wanted?
He did, but he didn't have that
didn't
say at
it.
That point.
Well, no, I know he didn't have the same say, but I mean, he was still thinking like, hey, I worked out with this guy. I know what he's able to do. I really like that. So, you know, maybe that and then coming into this year probably helped him out a little bit.
Especially, you know, when there are guys that you're former teammates of, I mean, you have an intricate working knowledge of it. If you're on the same side of the ball, like I would think that they would have asked.
Oh, gosh.
Talk to him about it. Ask him about it. That doesn't mean they're going to pick him. Like, hey, this is our order of tight ends. You know, they probably wouldn't even reveal that to him. But hey, tell us about Cade. What is he here?
They're just going
to
ask about him. Yeah. Give us any inside knowledge.
Tell us about him personality wise. What does he do with his routes? Different things. You know, what type of teammate is he? Like, all those different things. They'll always do that if they have a direct working line.
I just saw it was with Vince Workman yesterday, who was in Green Bay for a while.
Yeah.
And he was a scout there, but he's like, I wasn't even a scout anymore. I was just still around. And they were getting ready to draft AJ. And he's like, they came, you know, hey, you're an Ohio State guy. You know some people. You probably know some people. Yeah. Like, what do you think? What have you heard? You know, so just like they look any route they can to try and just get as much information on these players as possible.
As they should, too, because if you think about it, like even in business, you want to hire someone that you know is going to work well with the team you already have.
Does he fit in the locker room?
Because that I feel like is maybe one of the most important parts of the process, because you could get a guy that's super talented, but if he can't work with everyone or maybe just your group, that's not going to work out very well.
Bob, what do you make of Cade's journey now that it's complete here through Ohio State, showing up and playing linebacker, defensive end, wanting to go back in the Rose Bowl and play linebacker, and then being a drafted NFL tight end?
Pretty highly drafted NFL tight end. Mackey Award finalist. How many tight ends were taken before him? Three or four?
A handful. I don't think.
I was trying to like look and count that up. I mean, obviously,
Iowa probably put one out.
I don't think they did.
They didn't have one this year?
All theirs got hurt.
They're already gone.
They all got hurt. Luke Lachey came back. Luke would have been drafted high. What's his name from Georgia?
Brock Bowers.
Yep. Sitting there, Michigan's guy went a couple picks ahead of him. Mm-hmm. I think there was maybe one or two other guys in there. So your top five guy, top six guy drafted your position. That's pretty darn impressive.
Eighth tight end.
Wow, there's that many that went. So your top 10 of your position. It was a little bit like a series of books that they turned into movies, with the first one being called An Unexpected Journey in The Hobbits.
Okay.
And, he had a long journey to get that ring back to Mordor. A lot of hurdles. A
couple thousand pages.
Yeah. And that was kind of Cade's story. Long time here, two-time captain, linebacker, D-end, linebacker, tight end, linebacker, tight end. I mean, just like snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, like a dinner party, And it just took a while to finally get there. And then the last 2 years, you watched him settle in. And he went and ran a 4.65, looked good on pro day, and I think they're going to get a heck of a player. But it's one of the more unique stories, and I would say success stories, about a guy changing positions, having success. And Steel Chambers is kind of the reverse of that a little bit. Mm-hmm. He wasn't drafted, but he had a very successful college career, and I think we'll have a much better chance of making the team as a linebacker than a running back.
Yeah, I asked Bill Landis this question on the podcast daily today. Now, I'll put it to you guys. Will there be more Ohio State first-round draft picks in 2025 than there were total draft picks in 2024?
Ooh, five.
Ooh.
That's...
Golly, that's a lot of
what
dudes.
What is the first round, 32?
There's 32 first-round
The most picks. We've ever had is five.
So we have to get six?
The record is six. Is the record six?
Four players drafted.
Well, we'd have to beat... Yeah, we have to
Bobby,
be four with...
Bobby, let's make it the standard. Why don't we just do that?
That was my class, so that is the standard. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Standard is the standard.
Oh, I heard David Goggins. He had an awesome riff about the standard being the standard and...
Oh, I need to hear that.
Yeah, Nicole is trying to schedule a Standard is the Standard show for this
summer.
We've got
a couple free episodes coming up here in the next few months.
That'll be good. Five, it's so hard to say that. They also had five in 20.
In the 15.
15. Time, yeah. No, Michael Thomas should have been the sixth because they took five receivers ahead of him, which was ludicrous.
Didn't work out.
I don't know.
That's a lot.
I know. It's a great question.
It really is.
You have, two D linemen, right?
I think you'd have a couple D linemen.
Could have maybe two or three, depending on.
Is Simmons, is he a
he will be eligible to go to the draft.
Curious, because I think he has potential to be a first rounder.
The expectation from Ohio State at this point is that he will be an NFL draft pick.
I think that's probably true. I think Denzel Burke, there's a good chance that he could, depending
Jack
on.
Sawyer.
That's what I say,
the D linemen. Running backs?
Yeah.
One of the two?
Running back. I mean, the highest running back was taken in the middle of the second round this year.
Maybe they'll need more next year.
Gosh, I mean,
that's
If you put it at 4.5, I would take the under.
Mm.
If you put it at, I wouldn't bet it at 4. Because I think at 4 is probably about the number.
You're taking the push, huh? All right. Cop out.
It could be more. I said, if it's 3.5, I'll take the over all day. 4.5, I'd probably take the under, because I feel like 4 is probably about the number.
Will Howard comes out and slings it around all year. He could be a top pick next year.
Well, that was one of the points that I made in this conversation, is that based on what happened in this year's draft on Thursday night, with the absolute bonkers decisions and taking six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, is that going to be an aberration, or does that become the norm? Because if that's the normal thing, Will Howard, the expectation is that he will be the starting quarterback.
But don't be the seventh pick at quarterback. That's the moral.
There was a pretty big, pretty wide big margin between Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler.
Yes.
But if Will Howard is not one of the top six quarterbacks in the country next year, and he's Ohio State starter, that seems like that'd be a pretty surprising outcome. So I'm in my mind, I'm lumping him into that category. Yeah. People are already talking in their mock drafts that are way too early about Donovan Jackson being an option in their early guards. You don't generally see that. But you look at Ohio State's offensive line, they could have multiple candidates that are early round picks. Now, it may well be a situation that's similar to Michigan where it's like you're going to have a draft class of 15, just all can't get in the first round because, again, that's exceptionally difficult to do. There are only 32 spots, and teams are drafting for need, not necessarily going through the best 32 players in the country.
Well, that's the other thing that do people take into consider. Like, if we look at all the years that the draft happens, if a ton of quarterbacks were drafted this year, that means that many less quarterbacks are going to be needed in the draft next year, right?
In theory.
In theory, yes.
Because people are going to have them on their roster now.
Yeah,
so.
But there's other guys that people don't like.
We just had a team who just spent $180 million on a quarterback, and they drafted another one eight picks into the draft.
The Bears took Justin a couple years ago, and then you flip around and take Caleb. The Arizona Cardinals literally took two quarterbacks in back-to-back drafts, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't they draft Rosen and then Kyler Murray the next season?
They quickly moved on.
Yeah, Rosen was out of there really quick.
Right? So it's not exclusive to saying just because you're usually not drafting a guy in back-to-back drafts. The Patriots drafted Mac Jones 3 years ago, and he's gone.
She gone.
I would think that there would probably be maybe more like three or four next year in the first round, but you never know.
You got to think out of those six teams, there's
half of them.
20, yeah, you know, you're right. There's
40, only 48% of quarterbacks taken in the first round re-sign with their current team. Maybe 47%.
I believe that, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I think that shows also being able to work together as a team. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Being a leader, you look back.
Too much portaling.
One of the most notable drafts was Baker Mayfield's, the 2018 draft, I believe, 17, where you had Baker Mayfield go first. You had Sam Darnold go there. You had Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, who we just talked about, and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson won an MVP, playing well. Obviously, Josh Allen playing really well for the Bills. Josh Rosen, he's not in the league right now. Darnold's bounced to a couple teams. And Baker's kind of the one exception of that where he won a playoff game in Cleveland, bounced a little bit, and then won a playoff game in Tampa and got a pretty big deal. So I would say that he's more on the successful side, even though he doesn't fit that metric. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the best classes that you've had. And that's still like three of the five, with one of them literally being out of the league in like 5 years, 4 years.
And then the MVP out of that group.
Is Josh Allen, who, or no, Lamar was the last guy. You could argue the two best guys were Allen was the third taken, and then Lamar was 32nd, who just barely slid in there.
Yeah. So, JC, are you over four, or?
I want to say yes, but
it could very easily be five or
six.
I know Nicole will go out there on
that. If we go out and smoke everybody and we're national championship and everything just goes as great as we think it could be, then I would take
it. I think to me it's going to hinge on how good the defense is because they love D linemen. It's a D line. You have to look at draftable first round positions. D line, you got two ends that could go. I think Tyler, depending on all these guys, some combination, zero to three.
And cornerbacks too, right?
I mean, and corners is another position. You have guys that are viable options there. IGB, Denzel Burke, both Jordan of those
Hancock.
Guys.
Yeah.
Jordan
yeah,
Hancock.
I
mean, you could have one to maybe two, three of those guys, and the first would be a lot. So you have some combination there. And then the other big piece, Josh Simmons, if he plays well, I think he has all the ability. And then it's going to come down to Mech. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more receivers drafted, I think, in this, so many picks. I mean, they're flooding the market. But there's tackles, receivers, corners. And so – those are the positions you have to look at on offense and D-line on defense as well. So if Mech has a really good year, he could be one of those guys.
Well, if him and Will Howard have a good year, I mean, that could be two guys off the board right there.
If a Mech is a first-rounder, I think there's over five. Yeah. I think there's five or more.
See, I feel pretty confident that a Mech will be a first-round draft pick, especially with the way teams are drafted. The wide receiver thing, demand is not going to change. If the quarterback fluctuates, I can understand that. Again, because so many
because
of them
you play three receivers at a time now, and the hit rate on receivers is I think even worse than the hit rate on quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, I think
just
Marvin's
go out and
work.
Stay healthy this
week. Oh, I'm not saying that Marvin won't work.
I know, yeah. I know,
But I think Neighbors will work. I think they've got some great opportunities. It's just the hit rate is so low.
Would you like to know about some new opportunities, Bob?
Yes. What? You guys, it's finally here.
Wait, hold up.
It's finally
time.
Here.
Let's go.
It's
time.
Wait, is there dust new on sauces? These from when they were printed?
These are in all the corporate locations, Columbus and Dayton. And the new mango habanero and the Parmesan garlic sauces
they're
are here.
Here.
We have some new sandwiches, a new pizza.
Nashville chicken pizza.
I know.
Is this like that? Is this like that? Awesome. The jalapeno barbecue that we had or whatever. What was the jalapeno blueberry or blackberry?
Blackberry.
That
no.
was, oh, it, then Nicole's like, try it. I'm like, this is really, actually, this is burned. Really spicy.
Yeah. And then they had the to tone it down. Batch, yeah, the second batch.
The second test didn't go as well as the
they
first.
They think
test.
The habanero that we had used in the original one, the habanero sauce, that it must have just gotten hotter. Same brand, well, same thing.
It's based
everything.
Upon it's based upon the peppers. I mean, it's not like you're making it. You're making it from a
I was over here crying. Yeah. I couldn't wait to eat it.
Sometimes firm said that's called sweating from your eyes.
It was. Yeah. And I had to go back to the kitchen. I was like, guys, is this the same sauce? I'm very confused. So, but we got it figured out and it was, but the mango habanero is brand new and it's
this fried
really
Nashville
good.
Chicken
oh,
sandwich.
Well, chicken sandwich. It's been an expansion of the Nashville chicken, which is a wonderful option.
Gluten-free cauliflower crust. That sounds great.
That is going to be a great addition. For a lot of people.
So Nashville chicken pizza. And as always,
chicken, bacon, and cheddar.
On Tuesdays, we have the featured appetizer, which is $3.
Appetizer Threesday,
fried pickles. Those are good. I'm going to have one right now.
I can't wait.
They're really tasty.
You don't want to miss those.
No, they're good.
They're $3.
So it's exciting. They're finally here, guys. So people need to come in and try them. I haven't even tried everything on the menu yet. So
well, I got to try.
I know. The Big Bob burger that has the feathers on it and the feather sauce. Like almost like a dumpster burger.
Yeah.
It's taking the original Big Bobs to another level. An all-American level.
All-American level.
Wow.
Correct.
We love that.
So exciting.
Anything else that we need to know about, Nicole?
No, that's it. It's just crazy that it's already almost May. I know.
It's going to be May.
I know.
Justin Timberlake told us that.
Yeah.
It's coming. All right. Well, congratulations to your Texans and to Kate Silver and CJ Stroud.
I know. Congrats to all the guys. I'm so happy for all of them. It's really exciting.
Buckeye leaves all around for them. You don't need to single them out. But Kate gets probably the biggest one out of that group for the Texans.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let Nicole go about the rest of her day. Berm will be here shortly as we continue this fun, casual conversation at Roosters, a fun, casual joint.
Roosters has been so fortunate. We just want to be able to give some of that back to the community.
They donate to organizations that are near and dear to their heart, and we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long time.
They always go above and beyond to help support our foundation to further help veterans.
It's just a wonderful feeling to know that Roosters supports the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Welcome back into Roosters in the Horseshoe Lounge. Berm is here. Berm, what's your favorite Ohio State draft story from the guys that you've covered in recruiting all the way through the process?
Oh, man. Favorite story?
Yeah.
Of all time.
If you were going to make a Disney movie, Berm, it starts out with you in a parking lot with
a guy after practice.
And then fast forward to his NFL draft moment later.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's a real Bieber situation.
I don't know. I mean, you really stumped me there.
You weren't ready for that. I feel like you get too comfortable. You've known me so long. You know what I'm going to ask you, but I don't.
It's really
that
a great question.
Today.
I mean,
you know, there's just been so many guys that have come through the program that you grow an attachment to them as people. I love CJ Stroud's story. I mean, I think that for him to be in September of his senior year of high school, somebody that nobody knew anything about, to going to be the Elite 11 winner and a player that was down to Ohio State in Georgia and basically picked Ohio State the morning of, you know, signing day, for him to come in COVID, not get a chance to really do the things that you'd want to do as a freshman, have to fight for his job in his first year as a sophomore, and having to sit a game 4 weeks into his year because there was a concern about maybe he wasn't buying in enough, and also
I forgot about that.
I thought it was
also
a shoulder.
I thought it was a shoulder that
shoulder injury was
healed.
Made up. That shoulder injury was made up.
That's what I thought.
I liked Berm's taking
it
some.
It was never confirmed.
Berm's taking
some.
Confirming
it.
Look,
it
we're
was
taking some.
It was absolutely confirmed. He already had the shoulder injury in training camp.
We're taking
Let's
some
not,
creative liberties here.
This is the Disney
version.
Disney
movie.
Okay, like It is not a coincidence that Ryan Day kept saying throughout that preseason, CJ has to decide if he wants this.
Bruise on the shoulders, a long way from the heart, CJ.
So, and then
leave him alone.
It's obviously a
little creative license. It's fine.
The fact is, his career is going to always be looked back on in a weird way because he didn't beat Michigan, because he didn't win anything of importance at Ohio State. But everyone who watched him and got to know him up close was like madly in love with him as a person and as a quarterback. And then the way that he was attacked in the draft process for just no reason at all, and how quickly he has completely turned the narrative around that these people who thought he was some sort of dullard, and like he's one of the sharpest people you've
sort of dunce,
like ignoramus. Like, I don't know why, like how that was allowed to happen. It's probably the Texans who did it.
A nonchalant moron is what you're saying. Yeah.
And he's been so exactly opposite of that. So
Rookie of the year.
He's definitely up there. Just that story is pretty awesome.
When his story is finally written, finished, and puts his seal stamp on it, the JB, will he be the best quarterback in Ohio State history?
I think he...
Man. NFL career-wise.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah, that's not a very long list.
Isn't he almost already there? He's only played 1 year.
It's a long or distinguished list that he's going against right now.
He's
there.
Almost
so he's
already.
Probably already done right? enough to be the best.
Hasn't he won more games than Justin already? Isn't that?
I think it's close. It's not fair that the draft process. Like, Cade Stover was the Big Ten tight end of the year, and he was the fifth Big Ten tight end drafted for just no reason at all. Like, there was no – I mean, the Bengals, who spent a lot of time with Cade in the pre-draft process, chose Eric All over him, and I can't fathom it.
Eric All is an Iowa tight end.
Yeah, like
– Oh, so we did have – see?
Well,
I knew Michigan/Iowa.
Well,
fair.
I thought he's better than All.
He's certainly been
Your Bengals,
on the
yeah,
field
the
Bengals more than
doing.
All.
I mean, I thought they finally figured it out with drafting a Buckeyes, and then the Browns are like, hey, that's a good idea. Yeah. We should draft some guys,
we're
too.
We're going to do that.
Denzel Ward, pretty good player. Dwan Jones, good player. Ronnie Hickman, they signed him. He's starting games for us.
It was very surprising that he went. But, you know, I talked to Cade briefly on Saturday.
Do you think it's because he's a farmer? Is there farm discrimination going on?
I think it's the Bengals think that he's not athletic enough, maybe. Which is silly talk.
It's weird when you watch him run; it doesn't look
graceful.
It's not super fluid.
He's just a big dude.
But he ran a 4.65, and I watched him avoid guys like he played running back in high school.
Here's the thing: Eric All may run smoother, but if you don't play, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I got to be on the field.
You know, that's an important piece of the puzzle. So there's a lot you could go back. I mean. You could go back. Jerome Baker is a guy I love, like his story, like because I knew he was going to be a better NFL player than he was a college player because he just does, you know, he wasn't used correctly.
Well.
Jonathan Cooper, the path he took is awesome. And about to be like
Baron,
seventh round pick.
Baron Browning.
I was just going to say, everyone's mind immediately goes to NFL guys more successful at the NFL level than at Ohio State. Well, Baron Browning is the starter.
Coop was a seventh-round pick. And
but Coop played all the time. He was the block out. The interesting thing about Coop is I had a coach tell me one time that when they were recruiting guys, the baseline level of athleticism they looked for was Jonathan Cooper. They're like, if he's not more athletic than Coop, we can't recruit him. And I'm like, this dude had like seven sacks as a rookie in the NFL.
And he was a five-star recruit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not...
And I'm like, what? It was amazing. It was very perplexing to me. I'm like, he may not be just the most freakazoid. You know, he's not like Arvel Reese. But I'm like, the guy does everything that you want as hard as he possibly can. He's from a good family, a smart dude. I'm like, so what if there's other guys that are a little bit better around the fringes? This guy actually wants to be great.
Yeah. See, that's what pisses me off about the NFL draft process is that there's so many teams that completely forget
about that side of
the athlete. And because there's
school,
so many,
you do college recruiting.
I know,
it's the same
but there
thing.
Is there's so much evidence to support that the guys who want it more generally succeed on a higher level than the guys that don't. And when you have almost comparable athletic talent, and you have one guy who is an absolute, I will kill myself for this team guy, and another guy who
plays with some broken wrists,
right? Like
penguin.
And then you have the alternative, which is I don't really care about my teammates. I don't really care about playing as long as I get
JBDers.
As long as I get the perk of being a football player. Like the guys that the Cade Stovers of the world, the Tommy Eichenbergs, those guys will win you games. Like, yeah, they will make a difference. Now, you know, they're also potentially going to bang themselves up quite a bit along the way, but they will keep fighting to get back on the field. And, you know, you think about, like, I'm not going to throw shade at anyone. I'm not trying to, but, like, think about a guy like Jahad Carter.
With all due respect.
Think about a guy like Jahad Carter.
No offense.
At Ohio State. When Jahad Carter was brought in out of the transfer portal from Syracuse, the expectations for him were, like, through the roof. Like, this guy is going to be a full-time starter. He's going to be a difference maker in our defense. And what you found was a guy that didn't care to play football, right? Like, and so good luck elsewhere. I mean, hopefully
he's back in the portal, right?
Yeah, hopefully he rediscovers what it was that he wanted to do. But, like,
I think he enjoys the playing of football, like most guys do. But football is a game that takes an immense amount of preparation.
Yeah.
Like the JBD, the just ball dogs out there. Yeah. Like, that doesn't get it done. It may get it done at Syracuse, but Ohio State, when you have other guys around you that have comparable ability, who are going to really work and strain to know what to do. Part of the reason you get hurt is you're not physically prepared to go, which if our guy Schlegel Valley was here right now would tell us you're not taking care of your body, you're not training hard.
Not hydrating.
And so you get quad bruises that linger for months.
Your pee's probably orange.
Orange, bad guy, terrible guy. You're not drinking like us on here 48 glasses of water with Elite Hydration to make sure that we're fully cognizant and ready to go. So, yes, all those things. And that's the thing with when you go portal shopping, I mean, you see film, you talk to a guy, it's like, it seems good, but does it really?
Yeah, we'll get him into our system and it'll change.
For every IGB and, you know, Caleb Downs, I mean, Ohio State's really hit in the portal pretty well. Will Howard, good dude.
There is a benefit to being selective.
Yes. Like, just scout. Oh, this guy's great film, made a lot of tackles, caught a lot of balls. Bad dude. Why is he in the portal? Like, you got to also figure that out.
What? And they're not perfect. I mean, Jahad Carter, it didn't work out.
He'll go somewhere else and have success.
Yeah, he could. And, you know, Vic Cutler, like, that's part of the issue, I think, when you look at
Vic Cutler,
using the portal, is it cannot be the foundation for building your team.
No.
And the portal is about to close on Tuesday. You know,
Tuesday at midnight. I would say, Berm, how's that seven over-under looking for you right now?
Shaky. 7.5 is what
still calling guys. Berm's still calling him.
Trying to get him to leave.
Lure him in. Hey, you know what's funny?
I'm not sure why this became a thing.
I didn't want there to be that many. I was just prognosticating that, hey, this is possible. If you look at the draft, like Michigan heading into middle part of the fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever rounds they were doing on Saturday, there was like Michigan had like 11 guys drafted, and Florida State had 11 guys drafted, right? But Michigan, like 9 of them were guys they recruited out of high school. And Florida State, 9 of them were transfers. Yeah. So, like, you can quickly...
Which one of those two teams had more success?
Well, I'm saying you can quickly fix a program if you then are able to supplement it with building, you know, capitalizing off that success and then becoming back to what you were as a high school developer, which is what Florida State has now done.
In all fairness to Mike Norvell, he's only been there three years.
He came from Memphis. He had, like... Yeah.
He took over a hot pile of turds.
So... Yeah. And it's not like, obviously, Jim Harbaugh was very active in the portal over the last couple of years to build their roster to where it was so that these other players that all got drafted could develop and not be forced into playing early and not being pushed out of the program because they weren't playing, et cetera. So, like, I think that there's a way to do both, but Ohio State's approach clearly has paid off. But your point is well taken. Like, you can find guys in the portal that you just don't, that aren't actually helping your team. And there's been this clamoring over the last few weeks, why isn't Ohio State doing more in the portal? Why don't they find an offensive lineman in the portal? Like, because there's not one that's better than what they have.
Like, it's not one that's A, better, and B, like, as we were just talking with Nicole earlier when they talk about drafting guys, and they used to tell us this on visits, is this a guy you want in your locker room? Mm-hmm. Like, the players own the locker. Is this a guy we want on our team?
That's part of the reason why they send him out with you at night. Like, hey, how did he get along with everybody? You know,
did he drink enough beers? Did he tell you he had a cold and that's the reason why he couldn't drink? Make up some excuses. And then he was tired the next day. Like, no. Or did he go gung-ho?
Yeah.
Be like, listen.
He's out till 4 a.m. And he answered the bell in the morning.
Is he competitive? Hey, do this shot. No, let's do it. Boom. You know what? Bring me another. Uh-huh. Get some more over here.
Competitive.
Fill it up
drink
again.
Until I got to meet with Tress in the morning. Don't worry about it.
Did I have to stop with my defensive coordinator to throw up on the side of Olin Tangi before I went and met with our head coach?
Might be a true story.
minus the mite.
It's pretty specific. I didn't think that Bob just made that up off the top of the
dome. And then that guy went on to be an All-American player here, putting a guy you love to have in your locker room.
That's right.
He knows how to fit in. He doesn't back down from a challenge.
But, like, all part of it is, too, like, these guys care a lot. Like, Caleb Downs, he came in. You know, Lathan Ransom, those guys, they love him. Why? Because we're sitting and watch film together. I don't have to, like, I'm not your dad. I'm not your babysitter. Like, hey, come on, let's go watch film. You know, I want to sit and play freaking whatever those.
Call of Duty.
COD. And what's the other one my kids play?
Fortnite?
Get Fortnite with my V-Bucks and buy some sweet new skins and hang out. No, I want to sit here and watch film, figure out how to get better.
The problem with the portal is that there's not two of them, right? So there should be two portal entries.
Mm.
One is for players who want an easier path, and the other is for players who want to get better at football.
And I just want
to
chill.
You have to just put the designation on.
Yeah. Can you just give me some money? Like, I just want to come in.
You know,
and
there's
do
like
nothing,
guys who enter the portal can put the no contact tag, right? There should be one like don't really give a shit tag, and the actually want to get good tag. So Caleb Downs, who didn't want to leave Alabama, obviously Nick Saban retired, and things change. Davis and Igbinosin's like, I can get better, so I'm going to do that. And then you
and
have,
this coordinator left. Like there was
there's things that occur that open the door. But then there's the other
going to school
the
in
other
the middle
path,
of nowhere.
The other path of guys who are just like, I can't hack it, and so I'm moving on, which is also fine. Like sometimes there's maybe an epidemic of people in America who don't recognize that you are not going to reach this level you've
I
set
think
for yourself.
It's a lack of self-awareness. Yeah, like, we've really gotten to an incredible level.
So it's good. Like, you take yourself out of the situation where you're going to fail or where you're not being fulfilled to the best of your ability. But
human fulfillment?
Yes, that's an important piece of life.
That's why
they talked about in Risky Business.
But unfortunately, they don't tell you that when the guys get into the portal. So you
I think there's a third portal door because you're only looking into the Ohio State situation.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
There's the one hole, the two hole, and the three hole, which is where sometimes you get guys coming out of where, hey, I'm just JBD at the school I'm at. I'm making a lot of plays. I think I can go do this at a bigger place.
Someone's
going to pay me. And I didn't realize that there was an elevation and commitment at that place because, man, these guys all make a lot
or
of money.
Or competition.
Things are all good. Yeah, you know why? Because everybody there is striving to be good. And the fans want you to be. There's a big degree of investment. And with that investment comes expectations on the other side of it.
That's why I found myself I don't mean this to come across as a criticism. I was just confused by Dallin Hayden's move to Colorado specifically. Because it doesn't fit any of the three things necessarily that what we're talking about. I guess I don't know what his NIL, what the package is from Colorado.
Better be good if you're going to play behind it.
Because there's
no offensive line.
No offensive line, really. And a team that doesn't seem to have Florida State.
A plan.
Florida State has had a plan, and they've seen that through. They were continuing to recruit high school guys and build a program that way. Colorado's not doing that. They're not recruiting at all.
No.
So I don't – I can't figure out
They got like 11 commitments over the weekend.
Okay.
Like eight of them are from Portal guys. So like they're just building their team at the end
of
the
spring. That's what they said they would do,
and that's
right?
Not great. But
not great. Building a team on a seasonal basis is not a formula.
I can assume Deion Sanders is an excellent salesperson, right? So like –
what would make you think that, Berm?
Those Affleck commercials. I have bought so much supplemental insurance. It is crazy.
It's pretty
how
amazing.
Much supplemental insurance
so
I have.
Jay-Z was sitting right here.
I know, the whole time.
That you have a job that you could borderline be physically incapacitated and still do, yet you've bought so much supplemental insurance.
I have so much supplemental
insurance.
You'd
be Stephen Hawking over here just lying there.
Yeah, I mean,
you still get another. You're denied.
The guy is missing toes, okay? And he's still, like, kicking ass. So,
is he?
Yeah.
How?
No, he got his... It's more of a hoof now.
Get stuck?
Not so much of a...
Like, what ass is he kicking? That's what I don't understand.
First three games
what division
last year?
What league are they in now?
Big 12. Oh, they've got a much more... Their schedule is much easier. If they don't win 7 or 8 games this year, that's
not...
Well, so, guess what?
I mean,
they won't.
But they're going to have an opportunity next year where they're going to be able to say, we have the number one pick in the draft. It's from Colorado, right? So,
I think he's that good.
Assuming he doesn't get broken half.
You're talking about
die.
Travis Hunter?
Oh, you're going to have two of the top three picks in
the
draft. The
early mock drafts are putting Shadur up there.
You're going to have two of the top three picks in the draft will be from Colorado probably. And now that's what you need to be able to sell high school kids. So, we developed these kids. They were with me all along. So we'll see.
But Deion
is my son, and the other one is basically my son. So
Deion will be leaving.
No, he said he's not. You heard him. He's not a follower.
He's not going to follow those kids. He's going to let them live their lives.
Coaches don't lie.
Oh, yeah. It's just that everyone else in the coaching profession is already under the impression that Deion had no interest in staying at Colorado long term and was merely trying to get his two sons to the NFL level.
I feel bad for his other kid that's on the roster.
I know.
Just like it's
well, he's helping get the DMs on the defense.
Yeah, exactly. He's the defensive guy.
He's defensive recruiter.
You guys were talking about draft next year, Ohio State players. Like, I'm curious. You brought up the Will Howard thing. Like, I think that there will be Shadur, Carson Beck, and Quinn Ewers in the first round as quarterbacks.
True.
So you, the guys beyond
I can't
that,
believe that they would say Shadur's better than Quinn Ewers
because he's athletically looked, he's just a different level of human.
That's fine. I don't need an athlete. I need a quarterback.
Well, again, we go back to what the NFL is looking for. They're kind of dumb. They just look for the guy who is
you're
the
not
best
wrong
athlete.
In a way. Yeah,
and obviously you have those three. Here's the question that I was like, you're asking, who gets drafted first next year, Kyle McCord or Will Howard?
I would say outside of Syracuse going 10-2.
Yeah, like making a push for the playoff or something
if they
crazy.
Somehow make a charge in the ACC, I would say that's because of him.
Yeah.
He could be in that conversation. Outside of that, I think that you're probably going to see Will 2-4, and Kyle's ceiling's probably 3-ish, maybe 4-ish. So I would say Will.
I have this feeling they're going to be drafted back-to-back next year.
Back-to-back.
Like, it seems like they could both in be the in the middle
the same,
round.
Yeah, in the same level of quarterback.
And Emeka Buka is probably the third receiver heading into the draft next year, behind, what, Luther Burden and McMillan in Arizona. Like, I don't think – like, those two are surefire first-rounders to me. And I think Emeka is a first-round pick almost without question as long as he's healthy.
Okay.
So, Jack – will be a first round pick if he plays like he played the last
like
five
he
games.
Finished the season.
He will be a first round pick. JT will be a first round pick. Mm-hmm. Michael Hall was a second round pick and played like 11 snaps in his career at Ohio State. If you
13 sacks.
Tyleek has been a lot more productive.
Tyleek played really well.
Tyleek Williams will be a first round pick. So I think there's five.
When you but then Denzel
and then Denzel and I actually I think Davis Nigbinosun is going to be a first round pick. So I think you
you're
could push six.
That's what I'm saying. The defense should be really good.
Oh,
and when you have a good D-line, that benefits the secondary a lot because balls come flying out. It's balls all over the place.
And Jordan
balls
Hancock
everywhere.
Is like, I think Jordan Hancock is like pick 32. Yeah. So I think you could see maybe 6-7.
New record. I think you got to 7 there, didn't you?
Yeah, I think you could see. Like, those guys are good. Like, and now none of them are like a dynamic going to be top 3, top 4 picks, I don't think.
You have a lot between 10 and 32.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of those guys in the middle part of that first round, and then you get the Donovan Jacksons and the Josh Simmons and, you know.
I think, yeah, between like picks 10 and 60, you could have a lot of
Fryer
Ohio State guys.
Fryer will be out next
Fryer
year,
will
too.
Be out next year, right?
I mean, he's probably a fifth.
Yeah, probably not a
whatever.
First
he,
day guy. But
he's a draftable kid.
Yeah, he's drafted.
And you know,
I think if he plays well, depending on where he plays, I think at guard, he's probably a guy that you could probably take in the third or fourth round if he has a good year.
4 years of experience at Ohio State, always healthy, versatile, can play all five spots. Like there's things
to be
that,
said for that. Bob, are you of the mindset now that you think Josh Fryer is going back to guard? It felt like
I just said that because if a team that looks at him as a guard,
they
can play. You played a lot of tackle, but we've watched.
Yeah,
you
they
play
like
guard.
They like that he played a bunch of different stuff. Right,
we can draft you in the third round here because you can be day one.
Playbook,
worst case, it's not even playbook. It's just the physical ability. Like, there's not a lot of people that have the physical ability to play guard and tackle,
and who have done it already.
And have done it already. It's not a projection. Like. Yeah, it's not a projection. And I think he can go right and left side, which is not as easy as what people think
and,
as well.
He's smart enough and athletic enough to learn how to play center if he had to do it as well in a league that carries seven or eight linemen. So, my bold prediction is that Davis Nigbinosun will be the first Ohio State defensive player.
Really?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Wow. He's freaky. He has that thing
tall.
That the NFL like loves. That he's got that freaky.
He's got skinny calves. That's the only dude on the roster that I can definitively say I think Schlegs has bigger calves though.
That's really stepping all over my bold prediction that Jermaine Matthews was going to take Davis Nigbinosun's starting job.
Yeah, I think that's
bold. Oh, jeez.
I personally
think those are kind of counter.
I think that's insane.
We're on different ends of the spectrum there.
I think that's insane. Davis Nigbinosun.
Both of those guys, you know what they should have them do? They should have a Michael Jackson, like, beat it video where they fight, they tie their wrists together for the starting job. Each gets a knife. Is one of them willing to saw their own hand off?
I think we still need depth there.
I agree in some way that I don't think those two will be on the field at the same time because the risk of unsportsmanlike penalties is just
so
way
high.
Too high.
It'll be so high. It's like it would be like having both of these guys have – They. I will say this. They both have a governor at the top. It's
broken.
It's broken, but it can still work most of the time. But
it's like you've stuck that T into it in the golf.
Yeah, it would be like having Cam Brown and like Damon Arnett like out there coaching each other. Those are the guys that are supposed to calm each other down.
Hey, you got to have some shakeability.
I love it. It's a key
tenet of the last
Davis
show.
Davis Nygma-Nosen has elite athletic traits and elite shakeability.
When he would get beat by J.J. Smith, I thought he wanted to punch him on the ground. And JJ threw the ball at him one. It was so great. I mean, it was a situation where I'm like, I've never seen a freshman want to fight like a corner wide out. That's not like an NBA fight. This would be a real fight.
Real fight.
Where these guys are actually going to try to hurt each other. Like, get the helmet off.
Get the helmets off. Throw the pads off. Like
it's not like a hand slap. It's like I'm trying to get your helmet off to punch you in the face.
I'm all for it.
All right.
Good. And
all
I love
for
it. When you have dudes like that. Skill guys, like that's a tone setter.
Yeah, it is. You gotta have it. This was a.
You know what else you have to have?
Fried pickles.
Fried pickles on Tuesdays at Roosters.
One more
for $3.
Is that what you were thinking?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Fried picks.
Have you tried any of the new test menu yet?
No, I mean we just got here today, and I didn't see that when I ordered my normal five boneless.
It's right in front of you.
Not over there, was it?
I guess it's against the wall. You covered it with your bag.
Oh, IB.
Okay. Big mistake. Anyway.
Big mistake. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
And that mango habanero does sound tasty.
Oh, it sounds remarkable.
Berm was crying when I got
it. It's like the brother to the sweet Thai chili, which is really good as the red pepper flakes.
It's like the angrier brother.
Yeah, which is great. Sometimes you need the angry brother.
You got to have some shankability in your sauce, too. And you can get that at Roosters. Come hang out on Tuesday, Appetizer Thursday, Fried Pickles. They will be here and waiting for you in the Horseshoe Lounge. Thanks to Nicole Cox for having us in here. I hope you enjoyed this latest episode. We'll be back next Monday. That's Jay-Z, Bob Berm. I'm Austin. We'll see you then.